The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January only costs $7.99. It's titled, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, equipping you to witness Christ on the front lines. Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ.
We are certainly aware of a recent string of attacks against Christians from Iraq to Egypt to Nigeria.
I'm not some kind of a psychic, so I want everybody to understand that, but I ask God for direction, and He very graciously gives it to me from time to time.
I think you can expect tremendous material coming from the mainstream press this year focusing on the Democrats have learned their lesson and they're going to try to get religion again.
I don't know where we got this. He hates sin but loves the sinner. He damned sinners. And were it not for Christ, that would be the last word. That would be all there is.
Indiana truck drivers love Issues Etc.
Well, if you want to measure the influence, even this far away in history, of the so-called Cappadocian fathers, Basil the Great, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa, names you may not know, but if you want to measure their influence, even today, just look at something like the Nicene Creed, this great creed of the church that is still confessed and, at least in principle, held to by most of Orthodox Christianity. Of course, you've got to go back to the latter part of the 4th century to find these men and the theology, their ideas, the arguments and the defenses they made that influence us and what Christians teach and believe even today. We'll be remembering the Cappadocian Fathers here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Coming to you live this Monday, January the 10th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Heath Curtis on the Cappadocian Fathers, we'll spend the rest of the hour talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Baptism will be the subject. Are you born again in baptism? Big question. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Heath Curtis is a regular guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's editor of the new Daily Divine Service book. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here, Todd.
Take us back to the late 4th century A.D. to, I guess geographically, we're probably talking here mostly about Constantinople and a council there where these three men, their teaching and their defense of key scriptural doctrines really began to be felt by the church.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, this is a very fluid time in church history because the church at this time, and we're talking 370 to 380, let's, put it in those rough terms. This is a time when the church is coming to terms with the fact that it's now not only legalized, but very officially part of the cultural life of the Roman Empire, and that now their doctrinal disputes are receiving attention at the highest levels of civil society. You know, the emperors of the Roman world are now involved in this. And that very much complicates how the church is able to articulate its doctrine. And furthermore, it seems like the church is just going through one thing after another. They just get through the Arian controversy. They proclaim the full divinity and the full humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then immediately, just as soon as they're done with that, people start attacking the divinity of the Holy Spirit and saying, well, maybe there aren't really three persons in the Godhead. They're just two, and maybe the Holy Spirit is just the power of the Son or the soul of the Son even. And that's what brings on, that's the big doctrinal issue that brings on this Council of Constantinople, which gives us basically the third article of the Creed, of the Nicene Creed, that we say on Sunday morning.
Now, these are two brothers, and I take it they're buddy. I mean, these aren't people who just happen to show up together at a council or happen to be bunched together by the remembrance of the church. These are contemporaries.
Correct. Yeah, and if Christian parents ever needed some encouragement in their calling to raise their children in the faith, it'd be hard to get better examples than the parents of Basil and Gregory of Nyssa, because in this family, not only did we have those two, but there are 10 children altogether, and there's another one named Peter who has some writings extant in the church. You've got Macrina, who is Basil's older sister. She's a very well-known nun. And there's another brother, Necratius, who was another monk. This whole family, and then their friend Gregory of Nazianzus, their whole family becomes, you can tell the whole story of the development of the church just about in the last half of the fourth century just in this family. And so what a powerful testament to those Christian parents who raised these kids in the faith, and how they continue to interact with each other as brothers and sisters through the rest of their lives, and how important that was for the defense of scriptural truth at this key juncture in church history.
What do we know by way of biography of Basil and the first Gregory we're going to talk about here?
Sure. Basil's the guy we probably know the most about. He's got a very similar similar curriculum vitae to Augustine and Ambrose and other men kind of in roughly the same time period. And that is, he starts off going to school, going to college in Athens. He's training in the standard late antiquity liberal arts program, which basically trains you to be a lawyer, a magistrate. So he learns rhetoric, he learns the law, and he learns philosophy. But he kind of has this spiritual awakening, really keyed by his sister Macrina, that causes him to reexamine the path his life was on. He ends up dedicating his life to service in the church, and again we see this going back to the late second century with Tertullian. We'll see it happen again with Augustine, with Ambrose, with Basil. These men, they go and they get good scholarly, solid educations, then they use that in service of the church. His brother Gregory was very reluctant to get into the ministry. He took some arm twisting by his brother Basil, but he eventually does also enter the ministry as well, and serves as bishop of a little town called Nyssa.
Then Gregory of Nazianzus.
Yeah, that's their friend. They know him from school and from grew up in the same area. He chaired the Council of Constantinople, which occasions usually ask me what my favorite quote from these guys is. And this was an easy one, because we have Nazianzus's quote about what these, we have this kind of romantic idea, this fictionalized idea of what these church councils are, because they happened so long ago, and we take their doctrinal statements very seriously, and they're so important. But here's what Nazianzus said after chairing one of these things. He said, "I will not sit in the seat of synods while geese and cranes confusedly wrangle. Discord is there, and shameful things, hidden before, are gathered into one meeting place of rivals." And that'll ring familiar to any pastor who's been to a modern-day synodical gathering, I think.
So, our picture of all the pomp and circumstance, men parading about quietly in their robes with their hands folded, and then murmuring amongst themselves, and then suddenly, as if by magic, a creed pops up in their midst, just doesn't exactly fit the bill.
Absolutely not. Nazianzus wrote that about his disappointment with the Council of Constantinople, because the council refused to state unequivocally that the Holy Spirit is also consubstantial with the Father and the Son. That word consubstantial in Greek is homoousios, and that became the key turning point, the key word in defining the divinity of the Son. And Gregory was very much for proclaiming that same word in the third article of the Creed, with the full divinity of the Holy Spirit, but the council wouldn't do it because of all the controversy that word had brought up with the Son, and that really angered him because he felt like the creed that came out of Constantinople didn't go far enough in being absolutely clear about the divinity of the Holy Spirit.
So just to make it clear before we take a break here, a few more questions on the other side, that what they were doing there in the Council of Constantinople was kind of a piece with other councils. The formation of these creeds, in particular the Nicene Creed, didn't happen in one afternoon with a series of votes or something like that.
Yeah, it's a long process. Months beforehand, letters going back and forth, different parties coming together, and finally, under the leadership of the kind of state-sponsored Bishop of Constantinople, they kind of forced them to hammer something out. Yeah.
There are other influences these men exercise. We'll talk about them on the other side of the break, in particular, some of their contributions to the liturgy. But, of course, their theological contributions can never be forgotten. We know them as the Cappadocian fathers, Basil the Great of Caesarea, his brother Gregory of Nyssa, and Gregory of Nazianzus, our guest during this hour. As we'll talk about them for just a few more minutes on the other side, Pastor Heath Curtis, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's editor of the new Daily Divine Service book. Our call-in number on this Monday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. We get those emails in real time right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. After a few more minutes with Pastor Heath Curtis, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. We'll spend the better part of this hour talking about baptism. There are all sorts of passages in the Bible pertaining to baptism, explicitly pertaining to baptism. But if you believe that baptism is man's work rather than God's work, you're going to have to throw those passages out or ignore them one way or the other. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Pop spirituality teaches you to look inside yourself. True spirituality teaches you to look outside yourself to the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child. You can purchase Lutheran Spirituality by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Lutheran Spirituality.
For Christ-centered, cross-focused worship and preaching, come to St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. This is Pastor Charles Henriksen inviting you to join us on Sunday mornings for divine service at 9 o'clock and Bible class at 10:15. St. Matthew's is located in the town of Bon Terre, about a half hour south of St. Louis. For more information, visit us online at stmatthewbt.org. That's stmatthewbt.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. steadfastlutherans.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Cappadocian Fathers, Gregory the Great of Caesarea, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Heath, there are some other contributions. I guess they're theological contributions as well, but this to the worship life of the church. Do we know anything specific about what these three may have contributed there?
Sure. In the Eastern Church, the liturgy that's used, I hope I don't get this backwards. I believe St. Basil's liturgy is the one that is used during Lent. I could have that backwards. But I think in the Eastern Church, St. Basil's liturgy is the one that's used now during Lent. It'd be very recognizable to a Lutheran, the same basic parts of the divine service. So you see that really coming together in the 4th and 5th centuries in the East and in the Western Church. This we see written down, that this great consensus of the Church's thinking together and living out its worship from the days of the apostles and the synagogue into what becomes the divine liturgy that's recognizable East and West, Protestant, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Eastern Orthodox. And Basil is certainly an instrumental, you don't want to say that he's a creator, because he's not. He's receiving a tradition and codifying it over the areas in which he served, and that gained wide influence over the Greek-speaking church.
Why was that so important, finally? I mean, among all the other contributions, why was – that could be probably called the second most lasting contribution of these three, with Basil in particular. Why was it so important at the time that they codify, that they have a form of worship that they didn't invent or think up, but right. One that they had received and were passing on for all Christians to abide by and practice?
Right. When you get down to it, that's your Christianity. What you do in worship with other Christians in the church, that is the Christian faith. It often goes by the catchphrase, lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of praying is the law of believing. How you pray influences what you believe. They're intimately connected. That's true to this day. How we worship indicates and changes what we believe. And so that to this day, millions of Christians around the world worship in the exact same words written down by Basil. I would dare to say that is, in fact, his most important contribution, because, of course, that includes the Creed of Constantinople within it.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, editor of the new Daily Divine Service book. You can check it out at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page. Heath, thank you very much.
You bet. Good to be with you.